God damn it, Hyde.
The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
We are the Funk. Welcome. Welcome to another fun-filled episode.
Do we need to try that again?
Maybe. Maybe we're bringing the Funk.
Just go.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of the F'd Up Farming Podcast. I am your host, Royce O'Neill, and across from me in the crow's nest tonight is...
Tyler Martin.
Hello, Tyler Martin. How are you tonight?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm good. I'm going to turn on our sign.
I think you should. My cousin Sean didn't pilfer that sign for us not to plug it in whenever we're up here doing this shit. All right?
Thank you, Sean.
I mean, he just left it on my porch for us. On rodeo weekend in White Deer, Texas, there's five times the normal population running through the streets. They're all hooligans, and I got a brand new neon sign sitting on my porch.
And nobody stole it.
Didn't have the porch light on.
Which was a miracle.
If you'd had it plugged in, it'd have been gone.
Yeah, I bet it would have been.
That'd have been gone. But, so I guess that's Sean's shout out. We probably should have done that a long time ago, but kudos, cuz. Love you.
Throw that on the couch.
In sponsorship... This evening, we have Ballard's Guns in White Deer, Texas.
Oh, changing things up.
Why not, man?
A new...
They're
new
always leader. Last. They need to be first.
There you go.
We're going to swap that order.
They are good
Get
people.
Get it in the order it needs to be in. But Ballard's Guns in White Deer, Texas, check them out online. They can find about anything very reasonably priced. They have a few really nice. It's dove season.
It is.
Might not be whenever we drop this because we're starting to act like the livestock podcast. But neither here nor there. It is dove season currently. It's going to be goose and duck season. Go get you a new shotgun. Last time I was in there, they had a very nice Weatherby 20 gauge, all Cerakoted and camouflaged.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, slick gun. Really wanted it. Didn't have the money.
You deserve it.
It's not what I was in there doing that day.
You should have gone and got it.
Well, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Also, we have Texas Beverage and Package.
In Groome, Texas.
Go get you a bottle of something nice. They're a sweet little honey hole in a small town. And if they don't have it, they'll also find it for you. Or at least make a good attempt at it.
The fuck? Oh. My dog ate a bag of potatoes. Neither here nor there. I don't know that she ate the potatoes, but she certainly drug them off the counter and played with them.
Okay.
She got bored. Yeah, Texas Beverage and Package. Go find you a nice Penelope. Or maybe an Old Forester.
Or their Blue Note.
The barrel picks are fantastic, especially the Doc Swenson's. He nailed that one.
He has been 100%. He has nailed every one of his barrel picks so far.
He does very good. Very good. And also, we've got Meat Club Lambs. Best people, best sheeps, not on the cheap. Check them out.
Gageby, Texas.
They're still selling. I know they were selling this weekend.
Were they?
They had a pen set up for some guys to go look at.
Awesome. So hit them up if you're looking for some club sheep.
I believe you can find them on Facebook.
I believe you can.
I think they have a Facebook page. Or you can call Tommy. Look him up.
806. No, I'm not going to give out his number.
Look it up. It's online. He's an extension agent.
Next, we have Cliff's Farms or the Livestock Podcast. He's actually putting out episodes still. Hadn't folded up for the winter yet. You know it's getting cold up there.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming, as the Starks always said. Probably coming real quick up there.
It's not far. I mean, if I remember correctly, when we were up there for his wedding, it's about 3 weeks out.
That was for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, his wedding, too. I mean, first
week. Well, I'm just saying it was Thanksgiving. For people that don't know his anniversary.
It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Canadian Thanksgiving. What else are we supposed to call it? What do they have to be thankful for?
And we just lost our last two listeners in Canada.
I mean, I still love you guys, but I mean, like, come on, let's get serious. It's Thanksgiving.
Everybody knows.
Real Thanksgiving happens at the end of November.
Not the 1st of October.
Exactly. Exactly.
Get in line, boys.
Also, we've got Mo Cattle Company, White Deer, Texas. Best Sim Angus and Angus genetics in the Tri-County region.
Since 2023.
Come check them out.
We got some nice looking stuff coming up.
They do not have a Facebook page. They probably should, but they don't. So that's pretty well, you're going to have to hit us up.
It would be just as mismanaged as everything else in this hellhole.
We are not very good. We need to find a media. So if you're looking for a very, very, very low paid, like maybe you can get the dregs on some of these bottles we don't finish paying job, and you're good at social media, hit us up. Because we are currently in the market, and you could get a really, really nice buzz.
And most of a bottle of Steel Austin.
If you're a Fireball fan, which I'm betting most of them social media people are, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
All right. Well, that gets rid of our sponsors.
We didn't do the livestock.
Yeah, we did. I did it before.
You talked about livestock before you talked about us?
Yeah. I did us last.
Why?
I don't know.
That's supposed to be last? He's supposed to be last.
That's why we... Cause...
All right. Whatever. Whatever.
I don't know. Ended with a bang. Ended
Sorry,
with
I'm trying to deal with a crisis over here, man.
The potato dog?
Yeah. I don't know what's up with her.
Well, I'm guessing it's not because she's lonely and thinks she needs a sibling.
Probably not. She's a little antisocial. I think she's just kind of bored.
Doesn't like
It's been
other
real
dogs.
Hot. She hasn't been spending a lot of time outside. And I think been she just little, gets bored.
A little stir crazy.
It's getting hot for that shit, man. Like, getting she'll spend her two, fever. 3 hours outside in the morning, and then she's like, nope.
Yep.
You holler at me when the sun goes down and we'll go back out.
Yeah, I don't blame her. It's hot. I don't want to be outside.
It was like 105 yesterday.
Hyde stays here and naps all afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do that, but.
I don't either.
I would be fine with it. So let's get in here to this booze review.
What do you have for us tonight, Tyler?
We have the first bottled bourbon.
The first bottled bourbon.
We've got Old Forester. 1897 bottle and bond, originally produced on Louisville's Whiskey Row. This whiskey embraces the definition of the act introduced in 1897, which inspired higher quality standards for the spirits industry. It is 50% alcohol by volume, which is 100 proof, Canada. I know you're thinking, trying to do the math in your head.
Well, that's just because he's doing the Queen's math.
It's not metric. I don't know how they do the metric proofs. So this whiskey is distilled by us only, and we are responsible for its richness and fine quality. Its elegant flavor is solely due to original fineness developed with care. There is nothing better in the market. Underlined.
Nothing
Bold
better in
statement.
The market.
I can't read that dude's name. Something Brown, maybe? I don't know.
Ooh.
I like that sound.
That's a sweet little pop.
Smells good already, Royce. And that's just from pouring it. Has a wonderful color to it. Nice and dark, rich, almost mahogany-ish. Coats the glass very well. As you would expect from a bottled and bond bourbon.
I believe the name you were looking for of old Mr. Brown is George Gavin Brown, founder.
Okay, cool. Very sweet on the nose. You get a little bit of the booze off of it, but it's very caramely, vanilla-y.
Yeah, it's not as much alcohol as what you expect with 100 proof.
No, but if you get your nose right down in there, it'll sneak up on you.
A little spice.
An orange. Like if you swirl that pretty hard, you get that orange like
almost
a
zest.
Like a I'm trying to think of what it would be. That would have orange and spices in it. I could smell it in the bourbon, but I can't. I don't know.
I get it.
Very good citrusy, sweet nose.
Man, that is smooth.
That is super smooth.
Oh, that is good.
I think the orange and the citrus comes out quite a bit more whenever you taste it. You lose just a touch of the caramely, vanilla-y.
Yeah, it's not as sweet as it smells.
It's still sweet, but it's not just that first thing that you pick up.
Yeah, definitely a spice on the front of the tongue. It's not overly hot.
No, I mean, it's warm.
It's nice.
But it's not. It's warm both in spice and in alcohol.
Which makes it oh so nice.
It's very nice. We gonna do this again, bud? Whatever.
He's just ignoring you. Typical teenager.
He's not even a teenager.
No, he's more like a
teenager. He's like seven.
He's a little asshole.
He hangs out with you all day, so I'm not surprised. So yes. I'm not picking much more out of that neat.
I'm not either. It doesn't seem overly complex, but it is.
You do still get that, it is nice. That nice caramely finish off of it. Maybe almost like a, maybe not a caramel, maybe more like a maple syrup, pancake-ish.
I'm not getting just a whole lot of sweet off of it. That being said, I still like it. Usually I like a sweeter finish on the end of mine, but that is... That drink's very nice.
I still think it's plenty sweet. I like it a lot.
What do you do? Very nice.
I'm going to give that a 7, Royce.
That's what I was going with.
Write it down or it doesn't count.
7 across the board, Tyler. That one's easy to average.
That's a fine bourbon.
That is a fine bourbon.
Not a high score by any means, but it's certainly good.
I mean, it's worth a buy for an everyday drinker.
I can think of nothing that I would rather, like, that I would want more of in that.
I can't either. Maybe a little more sweet, but I mean, overall, there's nothing wrong with it like it is.
Zero.
So we're going to continue sipping on these tasty drinks. And we're going to roll on into our killing the day. Tyler, you want to lead off or you want me to?
So I will lead off first off with a song that was sent in to us.
By a loyal fan and listener.
Be honest with you. Apparently y'all are more loyal than me because I don't really remember who sent this to me. I am almost sure that it was Joshua Kroger. So, Kroger, if you're listening to this, and it was you, let me know. And if it wasn't you, let me know, and I'll keep thinking. But this is Coal by Dylan Gossett.
Well, I remember what you told me. Said drinking was unholy. So, Lord, can you point me to the creek? And I still keep it with me, tucked under all the memories. Your voice echoing throughout those trees. And through
that's a good song. I like it.
That is a good song.
I like it. So this is another one of those guys off of like the IG. Trying to make her big.
The Instagram,
I think,
huh?
He's got 4 songs maybe on iTunes. I looked into them. I mean, they're all pretty good. I think that one is probably the best of the ones that he's... Or my favorite, my preferred song out of his repertoire. But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I have no beef with that. And so, Kroger, if you did send that, I appreciate it. And let's all just say a quick little prayer and hope he doesn't turn out to be a D-bag like WZ.
Exactly.
Starts pouring bourbon on his face. He's gone. He's done.
We'll nix him. We'll cut him out like cancer.
We've done it before and we'll do it again. Not too proud. Not too proud. So, Royce, what are you going with there?
I have got The Night by Morgan Wade.
The Night by Morgan Wade. Well, let's see what that's all about. Johnny called me late last night, and I told Miss to walk, just go home. Why do the demons in my mind? They want to leave me alone. It's the pistol and the bottle, it's the drugs and it's the throttle. They tell me to make me feel alive. But I know good and well. That's a good song. I'd heard that one before.
Had you?
I didn't recognize the name. But I like her. She's got pretty a nice solid voice. I tend to on her prefer the acoustic songs.
Okay.
But that one's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
It's not like overly produced. It's got a little organ.
Mm-hmm.
Good guitar.
It's nothing good jam. With it. Yeah.
It's good jam.
All right, Tyler. So what are you bringing?
So tonight? I, full disclosure, I thought we were going to do this like a week or two ago. And I thought this would be a perfect one to turn out on like September 1. But frankly, I was busier than shit all July. You were busy. Shit just didn't work out like planned.
You mean August?
August. Whatever the fuck it was. I don't know, man. I'm still living in like June. But, so what I brought is September Doves by the Lost Dog Street Band. We got Peck, Johnny Orr. Change your names and try to forget. Oh, and Lord knows I'll be sorry when it's done. Oh, but circumstances shut us down like September does. Circumstances shut us down like September does.
Good song.
You like it?
I did like it.
You heard it before?
I don't think I have.
You know who that is?
The Lost Dog Street Band.
You know who sings for the Lost Dog Street Band?
Sounds very familiar.
That is Benjamin Todd.
Okay. Yep.
I
knew he was on the playlist. I was trying to think of
somebody else in that. It's a really cool collaboration. They don't have a lot of songs out there. So it's Benjamin Todd and Ashley May. Oh, it's his wife. I don't know if that was his wife. She plays the fiddle. You
know, awesome. She's a hell of a fiddle player.
Yeah. But no, it's a good jam. I like it. I thought it was topical, relatively seasonal. And here's the deal. They're all September Doves if Game Warden's not around.
I'm not going to comment on that in case we have some Game Wardens listening, Tyler.
I saw a deal the other day. It was a snap, or not Snapchat, but a text message screenshot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said, where are you going for opening day of Dove season? The guy replied, to jail if the fucking Game Warden shows up. I thought it was really funny.
That's hilarious.
Have you been checked by a Game Warden lately?
Tyler, I don't think I've ever been checked by a Game Warden.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
I got go ahead checked. And knocked on wood there.
I got checked. Was that last year or was it 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Because me and our old pal Watso were out there dove hunting. And he had his double barrel, so it was no big deal. And I just bought that A5.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
And he shoved that PEX up there to make sure I had my plug in. And then couldn't get back out.
Yeah.
And before that, he was talking, oh man, this is a really nice gun. Really like, nice I love this. Is a nice. I was like, yeah. And then he shoved that PEX in there and he's like, man, I'm having trouble getting this back out. I was like, I'm glad you like it because you're about to fucking buy it. And the old guy that was like supervising or training or whatever busted up laughing.
That is That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure a game warden trainee is walking around with $1,600 cash in their pocket.
Yeah, he would have been that day.
Well, no, he wouldn't have. He'd gone home with a gun.
Wrote a check.
I don't know if I'd taken a check from a game warden. Some of them seem a little shiesty.
You would like to think from a game warden that you're going to get a good check, because
you got to figure a game warden's got some cool toys. Maybe we could just do a trade.
You know they have some cool toys because they are basically state police. Troopers.
No, they are above state troopers.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they get all the same or access the same stuff that the state troopers do.
Yeah, I knew a game warden.
They probably have access to more.
Oh, they got so much more.
Like if you watch Lone Star, is it Lone Star Law?
Yeah, I don't get into that much, but yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Like that.
It's pretty good. Like if it's on, I'll watch it, but I'm not a regular watcher.
I used to hunt it out. It'd come on like every Wednesday, and so Wednesday we'd just watch it, and I didn't know which ones were new, but it was
right
because they just play it from 4 to 10 or whatever.
Yeah,
but yeah,
back in the old days,
it's good.
No, so I knew a game warden in Dumas.
Yeah.
He was in Dumas. I don't remember where he lived. I lived in Dumas. But they had a high-speed chase right in front of my house.
Wow.
And it was great. So this guy, he was in like a old square body Chevrolet pickup. Mm-hmm. And he comes hauling ass. And I remember me and the dogs were sitting out in the yard playing because the dogs were barking and we had a baby and the dogs weren't digging that. And so they come. This is before the baby. I had a pregnant wife. Maybe that's what it was. So this guy goes hauling ass. I was like, looked over at Ransom. I was like, somebody's about to be in trouble. About 3 minutes later, he comes hauling ass back by. And all the state troopers and county guys are following him again. I was like, maybe he's not in trouble. Then he comes back flying back by. And I was like, oh, they got him this time. Comes back the other way. He was just running up and down. Because it was like a 4-lane street that I lived on. Like, it was the main street.
Was this your old house?
My rent house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he just making U-turns and hauling ass. Well, apparently he would go down to, like, by the golf course, and he would take out till sunray, and then somebody from sunray would be coming, so he'd flip around, and they could never catch him. Well, finally, the last time he came by my house, he got about 3 blocks down. Game warden just took him out. Hit him. He said, I didn't hit him head on, but it was damn close.
Damn.
He'd had that pickup a week, and he was so mad because his old pickup, it was Chevrolet, and it kept breaking down. He had lifter, you know, engine troubles, typical Chevrolet problems, but he was so mad. And they said that you could tell whenever he got that, drug that guy out of the car and cuffed him, like he was, you know, good, but at the same time, he was not so understanding at all because he's like, just got that pickup. Now I'm wrecking it on your dumb ass. And so one of the state troopers was making fun of him whenever they were marching him over to the state trooper's car. And the guy said, man, that pickup is a week old. And they knew each other. He's like, we ain't got him in the car yet. If you want to, I can tell him to run. You tase his ass or something. All in jest.
That's what you call mutual cooperation.
Exactly. It's like, I mean, I'm telling him to run. I don't care.
You got a chance, bud. You got a chance.
The guy said he didn't want to use his taser.
You got to answer questions, I think, when you do that.
You know, I had a guy tell me once, it's a lot of paperwork if you pull out your taser. And it's a mountain of paperwork if you pull out the other side.
And by God, don't ever mix them up.
Oh, that's a bad deal with that old gal.
That was not a good deal.
That was a training mishap.
For sure.
Because I remember she hollered, taser, 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 boom! It's like, my bad, bro.
Oops.
But we don't need to get into all that. Royce, why are we looking at a video of an old lady?
Because I want to bring this to your attention, Tyler.
That's an upside-down combine.
That is definitely an upside-down combine. Perfectly upside-down combine.
Look, I'm kind of curious how that happened.
You and me both.
Is that... I can't really see from here. Is the header upside down?
I think the header's flipped over, too.
Yeah, it's backwards, too, isn't it? Oh, no. It's no sound on those.
No.
Never get sound on the good ones that you need sound with.
The header is upside down, and it looks like the snoots are bent back.
Okay, so the snoots are just bent back? I thought it was upside down and 180 from where it was supposed to be. But I can't really see from here.
It's about I'd say a 90. Maybe not quite a 90, but it's past 45.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. With those snoots pointed back towards the... I thought that it was...
No, because see, you can just see the middle of the auger right there. And then it disappears again.
Okay.
So see, this is the mounting plate.
Okay, yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure those are the auger or the snoots underneath.
Those are the snoots, for sure.
So it's folded itself under... There's the end sitting behind it. The ladder is not where you want it to be.
Well, it might be more convenient in the position that combine's in.
It is, but I mean, the combine is... And it looks like it was loaded. If it wasn't loaded, it had some grain in it, because there's grain all over the ground. And she's upside down, bud. I believe she's good and totally fooped.
You know, you look at that, because that looks to be fairly flat ground.
I don't know. I think it's kind of hilly. Because, like, you look right there.
Well, but
then let it start over. So
yeah, but where it's at, that looks fairly level.
It does. You're not wrong. Where they're at, they're on...
They look like they're on the top of a hillside.
Or the top of a valley, maybe? Like, it goes down into a valley?
I can see that.
Because, see, there's not a lot of slope. You get a little bit of angle over here, and it's fairly flat.
That almost looks like a tornado, or... Oh, fuck, that'd be a... badass tornado, flip that thing over.
Yeah, it's not great.
You make it bigger, there's probably more slope than I think, but I still think you're going to flip over a combine.
I wouldn't think so. I genuinely struggle to understand the physics it would have taken to reach this.
Because that son of a bitch is perfectly upside down.
Lightning McQueen and Mater stopped by yesterday. As somebody who has watched Cars multiple times in the last month, I get that joke.
Good thing is, Hurricane's not a big Cars fan.
Cars isn't bad.
I don't mind it, but I was kind of over it after it came out the first time. My favorite part of Cars is the forklift. All he wanted was a fucking chance.
He got it. He got his big break.
He proved himself too.
That he did.
But then you watch Ford versus Ferrari and you're like, yeah, that little Italian prick can go to hell.
Yeah. Another good movie. Ford versus Ferrari is a good movie.
Love Matt Damon.
Whenever
his old boy is standing there next to whatever that guy's name was that was supposed to be taking over the racing program. He's like, this is normally about the point where the uninitiated soil themselves. Makes me laugh every time.
Christian Bale does a good job in that movie too.
Christian Bale does a good thing in everything.
He really does.
I don't think I want to hang out with him.
He's pretty intense, I think.
But he's solid. I watched a movie with him in it the other day. I remember what it was. It's another good movie.
Did you see The Machinist?
I don't like that one.
That one was a little weird, but I mean...
Good performance, but...
But I mean, he took it all out on that one, because he got down to like 90 pounds or something.
Yeah, and then
that.
He went and filmed Batman like 6 months later.
That is crazy how they do that to their bodies.
I don't think it's good.
I don't think it is good, but it's crazy that they can do that to their bodies.
You're not wrong, but...
I'm not saying it's at all healthy in any way, shape, or form, because he was basically anorexic when he did The Machinist.
He was anorexic.
Well, I don't think he actually had the eating disorder, so I don't think it counts.
Well, technically, he was anorexic because he refused to eat.
Okay.
Short term.
Splitting a hair there, but okay. I'll allow it.
But he had walking anorexia.
Walking anorexia.
As opposed to chronic, I guess, would be the term there.
So it was acute. What he had was...
Okay. He's acutely anorexic. Shouldn't be making fun of eating disorders.
We shouldn't. And I'm not making fun of...
Being as we both have one...
What, we just can't stop eating?
Well, I was going to go with bulimia, but we're not good at the second half.
Really mess it up on that second half.
The binging part, we got it down.
We're really good at it.
It's the purging that I don't.
Not so good. I just don't like throwing up.
No, I hate it. That's worst, man.
It's horrible.
I hate it whenever I get stomach bug.
Yeah.
I don't even like it when a hurricane has a stomach bug. Because first off, I feel terrible for. And secondly, exactly. I don't deal well with puke.
We just came off a stomach bug.
I heard that.
Saturday, Sunday.
No, it had to be Sunday or Monday.
And it wasn't Monday because she was clear all day Monday. So she could go to school.
Then it was Sunday because you weren't here Saturday.
Yeah.
You was off doing champion things.
No, it was because she threw up about 10 minutes after I showed up.
Which was on Sunday.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, because on Saturday, you's off doing champion things.
That's exactly right. It's been a long week, bud. Been a long week. Been a hell of a ride this
You're
week.
Telling me.
Been a hell of a ride. So speaking of champion stuff, do you want to announce what happened?
So basically, here's the deal. Ty, I hope you're listening to the podcast. No ill will, but who's your daddy?
We won.
Who's your daddy? That would be us. So we were at the Jody Palage Memorial Barbecue Cook-Off. And so once again, we are the champions. This time, we also entered the state cook-off, which I believe was hosted by the Old Mo Beattie Jail Association.
It was, yep.
I think that's who I made the check out to. So we won that handily.
Yes.
Like 90 points between us and second place.
70.
Was it 70?
Yeah, it was 621 to 690-something.
Okay, so that's where I got the 90 from. Yeah. So we won that by 70 points. We're not going to get into the points deal because it was a little bit closer on the barbecue, but we won Chef's Choice. We also got second place in Chef's Choice and fourth and fifth place in Chef's Choice. Really took that one home. Third place, good luck. Congratulations. Glad you snuck in there. And then we won ribs, we won chicken, and we won brisket.
And we won overall. Obviously, we won, those three. So it was a very good weekend.
If Jake Spoon would have showed up, we might could have won the 5K.
Might could have. But maybe we would have taken third, too, in the Chef's Choice.
That's probably what happened. It's probably what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to notice a trend with our Chef's Choice. If you show up with zero preparation whatsoever, you're either going to get first or you're going to get last.
You're not wrong there.
Last year, Parker got last. This year, well, he got second.
Second, yeah.
But it was a teammate that beat him, so it's fine.
It's okay.
This year, zero preparation.
Yep, second.
Well, it wasn't quite last. It was fifth.
Last year?
No, this year.
Oh. Were you fifth?
I was fifth.
I thought I was fifth.
Well, I'm pretty sure I was fifth.
Okay.
I didn't look it up, but
at that point, once we were past third, I wasn't that worried about it.
It didn't matter.
I know me and you were...
We were fourth and fifth,
and fifth together, yeah.
My Mac was a little clunky. I think I smoked it too long.
And my tenderloin bites were a little overcooked.
And, you know, there was lots of things I could have done better. I could have been way more... Like, if I'd have cooked that at least one time before, instead of just deciding while we were on our way to Amarillo, I think I probably could have done better. But
the pork belly was good.
The Mac was okay.
The Mac was...
It was clunky. It was oversmoked. It got a little dry.
Yeah, it was starting to break, if you will.
Well, I think that was the cream cheese. Because it never broke, but it didn't...
It didn't coat the Mac as well as what you would like. It wasn't as creamy, I think.
It started out better.
It did.
I think it was the smoke. It was just overly smoked. It got too dry, and it wasn't wanting to...
Yeah, it was starting to...
It wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I don't think broke was the right word.
No. Well, I meant the sauce was breaking off of the...
Well, that's not what it means whenever you say a sauce is broke, though.
But the dish was broken.
It was not great. And it
tasted fantastic.
Also, had I done that once before, I might have had a better idea on how to plate the shit instead of just...
Yeah.
I guess I'll throw it on here. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't really think this through.
No, I
spent a long time thinking about how to make it and what to make, but
yeah,
just execution.
I think And part of my problem was I didn't even start thinking about Chef's Choice till 2 weeks before.
Well, I thought about it for a year, but I decided 2 days before.
See, I didn't even think about it because we had some stuff going on.
All you did was overcook your tenderloin.
But I didn't. There was a while there I didn't know if I was going to get to go. So I figured out where
you screwed up on that, because I watched a guy make that exact same dish last night on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
You've got to pre-cook the bacon.
That's what I was thinking.
You give it about 10 minutes or so on the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wrap it up, because I've been watching bacon wrap stuff for next year's Chef's Choice, because I'm about prepared.
Yes, sir.
And then you wrap it. That way your steak doesn't get overcooked, but your bacon still gets crispy.
Yes. No, and that was, I had thought about doing that. And then I got busy with the steak cook-off. Because, I mean, hell, that's where the money was.
100%. Give shit about barbecue anymore. We're cooking steaks. Yeah.
So, I mean, my chef's choice, it came down to, we're just going to season the steak or the tenderloin, wrap it up, throw it on there. Because you got to admit, that tenderloin was fantastic. Just the two bites I had that didn't get wrapped.
You know, it was funny because I think I ate three of those. One of them was superb. One of them, you could tell it was like part chain, part tenderloin.
Yeah.
The other one was raw.
Yes. So
maybe it wasn't that you overcooked your tenderloin. Perhaps you had some consistency issues.
No, because those I smoked longer. Those, the two bites, which they were two chunks that I pulled off, which I didn't wrap them because they had a vein of gristle going through them, which is why I didn't wrap them.
Because it was part chain, part.
Yeah. So I just threw them on the smoker. And since they weren't wrapped in bacon, one of them was a little bigger, and I pulled it sooner than I should have. I thought it had enough time on there size-wise, but that's why it was a little raw. And then the other
seasoning was good. It was great until I bit it.
Yeah.
That's where it all kind of went to hell.
But the,
which is not really what you want in a cook-off.
No, it's not.
It's not a wine tasting. We're not just going to swirl it around and spit it back out.
Shameless plug, the cowboy crust from the
Spiceology.
Spiceology is a fantastic, especially like on a tenderloin or something like that. Fantastic seasoning.
I prefer the Black Magic.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't think I've tried that one yet.
Oh, boy.
Better than the cowboy crust.
Oh, yeah.
Which I use cowboy crust in, I pair it with something else, like another steak seasoning, because doesn't have a lot of salt to it.
Which is fine. We could probably all back off on our salt.
I mean, we could. But, I mean, it doesn't have a lot of flavor other than coffee. I think there's a few things in it other than coffee, but it's mainly ground coffee.
It's coffee, pepper, and cumin, I believe.
Okay, I would believe that.
I might be wrong, because I haven't really looked at it, but just tasting it, mm-hmm. I think that's what it is.
I would believe it, because like I said, there's very little salt.
There is probably some salt.
But I said very little.
I didn't say salt whenever I said what was in it, so I felt like I should clarify there is salt.
But it does make a good crust on a steak or a smoke roast like that.
It does.
Because I did a full tenderloin for Christmas, mm-hmm. and that's what I rolled it in that. It just fantastic.
That Black Magic, though. We got to get you some of that. It's a blackening seasoning.
Yeah.
It's good on seafood. It's great on burgers. It's good on steaks.
I'm going to have to try that.
Their Oh Canada is pretty good, too.
Oh Canada.
Yeah, I sing it every time. It's Montreal steak seasoning, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a little salty. Like, you got to be careful with that. Which really? Montreals kind of tend to be that way.
They do.
But But
I mean, Montreal for a just a base steak seasoning.
I cook a lot of steaks like that.
I mean, Montreal steak seasoning is a good steak seasoning.
I actually tend to prefer the Montreal seasonings. Like if I'm going to cook like a prime rib or a whole tenderloin or something, like if I'm going to cook a primal, that way you've got your exposed cut.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it getting so salty. But I also will put it on there like overnight.
Yeah.
You know, like not a sheet pan, but a cookie sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of let it brine in there.
Yeah. So when I was in high school and we were cooking with FFA, we did a lot of fundraiser cooks. Like we cooked for various banquets and whatnot, or We catered meals.
Your wedding, basically. Stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't FFA that did that because...
Same recipe, the dry, same guy. Same raisin,
but yeah, that's all it was Montreal steak seasoning.
It's good stuff.
It is.
Some are better than others, but Spiceology's got a pretty good blend.
I'm going to have to try it.
Since we're plugging Spiceology, I figured I'd just throw that one up there.
As well.
Also, if you're searching on Spiceology, before we have to send them a bill, I'm going to mention one more thing. Greek Freak.
You've said that is really good.
That is so good. It's got the citrus, it's got the mint, it's got the oregano, it's got salt, the garlic.
What you're looking for in a Greek seasoning?
It is spot on.
It's got what you need.
If you rub, if you're looking Greek, like, I don't cook a lot of chicken, but sometimes I do.
Mm-hmm.
If you get like breast cutlets.
Sometimes you cook chicken or sometimes you cook a lot of chicken?
Sometimes I cook chicken. if you'll put a little olive oil and that Greek Freak on there. Let it sit, like do that in the morning, then grill it at night. So good. Makes a great salad.
I bet it does.
Because as you know, I'm a big Greek salad guy.
I bet that makes a good chicken salad.
But I like chicken, I like some sort of protein.
On your salad.
Steak. Yeah. It's good on pork chops.
I may have to look into that one.
Yeah, man, I love a Greek salad. Fucking love it.
All right, Tyler. Now that we've done our... Jody Palage update.
Yeah, for those of you that listened to the podcast that came out this morning and thought, man, I need to go to that. A little late.
You missed it by at least a week.
I almost cut that part out, but I didn't.
Which topic you want to hit first? You want to do crop conditions?
Let's do a crop update, Royce.
Okay.
It's fucking dry.
It is some kind of dry. Leaf wars almost burned today.
Did they get that fire put out?
I think they did. The picture I saw, it looked like they stopped it right at the edge of town.
Well, I think they only burned one house, but last I saw, one house got burned, but there was no... That fire was still...
I think the...
Let's call it 40% contained.
The main part of the fire is, but I think they got it... I'm hoping this is just...
At least diverted.
Diverted around the town. Kind of like they did to Skelly Town that one time. Yep. When it almost went and burnt the airport down. But yeah, no, I'm not going to say anybody didn't lose a house, but scary deal. But it's turned dry enough already that wildfires are happening again.
Well, you know, it's one of those deals. I mean, we had a lot of rain. The grass is tall. The grass is cured off. I mean...
We had a lot of rain and then it stopped. So the grass isn't green anymore. Well, just like when we were leaving for the barbecue, for the cook-off. We were headed into town to eat lunch.
And there was that fire in a bar ditch.
Yeah, which I'm guessing it was somebody dragging
apparently a chain. That was multiple fires. I saw that later, and apparently there was also bar ditch fires like on the north side of the airport.
I'm not surprised. It looked like it was already in three or four spots.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I just thought it was in that little section there between, you know, whatever street that is and the airport.
I'm guessing somebody was dragging something.
Had to be. Which I've been guilty of that. Yeah. It sucks. You drag enough trailers, it fucking happens.
It happens, but you just got to pay attention.
Yeah.
Try and prevent it from happening.
There's been lots of times I'll be like rolling up to go stop at the train tracks in White Deer, and you hear it dragging. It's like, oh shit, I wonder how long that's been going.
What's odd is it was on the opposite side from where the wind was blowing. Because the wind, when we pulled up, the wind was blowing the smoke across the highway. But, you know, weird things happen with sparks.
Yeah. Well, and it could have been like a big truck or something like that. It had a blowout, like on an outside dual on a trailer. And, you know, sometimes you don't see those. And the wire and the tires, they shoot a fountain.
Yeah.
It's impressive to watch.
They really do.
So everybody be careful about that. That's your safety moment. The more you know.
The more you know.
Just imagine the star coming across. See, even I'd paid attention whenever I made the noise.
But yeah, so things have turned off dry. Dryland corn's not looking so hot.
It's going to be fine after next week.
Isn't it a little late?
You know, here's the deal, Royce. You got some tip back.
Yeah, not surprised.
Not as much over here as you do over there. Over there, you just got bad pollination. Over here, you got tip back.
Okay.
I think you're going to have some beer can ears. If we can catch some rains, fill them out good, I think we're still kind of in the realm of making 15, 20 bushel. It might be more than that. I don't know. It's hard to do.
It's hard to do the math on that stuff.
Well, the math is easy. It's the counts that are hard. Because that's like, I looked at a guy the other day that he was asking me about, because he used a certain product, and he said, hey man, go look at this compared to this and tell me what you think. And I basically told him, it's like, well, I don't think this stuff did quite what you needed, because you needed to add exactly what they said that you didn't need to. I said, but here's the deal, I could be completely wrong. Let's run a combine through it and see what happens. Because, you know, you can do your stand counts, and I normally do two or three before I try to make an estimation, and you pull back two or three ears. I mean, you hate to just start ripping ears back on the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're not going to hurt yield, but it just hurts. You don't want to do
it. Oh, yeah. No, it feels like you're hurting yield. But
yeah. So, I mean, you do like two pulling or three stand counts. But here's the deal. Unless I have you fly above it in your airplane and say, all right, you've got this hot spot right here, and it's this many acres. Or, hey, you just happen to be in the best part of the field. I mean, shit, I've been wrong. You know, you can be 40, 50 bushel off. Easy.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
So good news is, at our current price, 15 to 20 bushel corn, how much was that bag of corn seed?
Which one did you plant there?
I'd have to look. The one you wanted for dry land.
Didn't you plant the wrong one on one?
Yeah, that was the other field.
I want to say it was in the 270 range.
Oh, I figured 320.
Oh,
when I did my math there.
You can pay that much for your irrigated corn seed.
Oh, even better. No, that at least pays for the corn seed and a little bit.
There you go.
I mean, it's probably not a break even.
I'll tell you, them fields are clean.
But it is clean.
I haven't walked in this one. But that one over yonder, boy, that son of a bitch is clean. Yep. There's spots there ain't even corn growing. There's spots the corn's growing sideways. Which, here's the deal. At one point, I would have blamed your herbicide program, but now I'm like, man, might have just got tired. I don't know.
Just started laying over, bud.
Well, it's just goosenecked. It certainly amplified a herbicide program. But I don't think we can put 100% of the blame on that.
I doubt it.
Oh, you can't. I can't. Nobody can.
We've got Milo, or to get off of the dryland corn deal, because that was just fluke anyway. We're just trying it.
That's for funsies.
I mean,
that's like, I was talking to one of my other customers the other day, and I was like, well, did you put any dryland corn in the ground? He said, nope. You know, I got a neighbor that did that 5-6 years ago, and he did like 140 bushel. And I said, man, I've seen a guy do that before. He said, yep. Did he do it twice? It's like, I don't think he's planted dryland corn since. He said, yeah. He probably fucking shouldn't, because he hit his peak. He should just take that, write it down, and move the fuck on with his life. So, you're not wrong.
No, I mean, Dad did dryland corn. I was little, because I remember it.
He did it over there on the place I used to farm.
No, it was...
I know he's done it on that place whenever him and your uncle planted it over there.
Did they?
Yeah.
The one I'm talking about where he actually hit it on the right year and made 100-something bushel, maybe right at 100 bushel, 90, 100 bushel, something like that, actually made decent dryland corn here. It just passed the S-curve on the highway.
Right.
And I remember walking through the field with him or checking it one time and just barely. So, I mean, I was 5,
pretty young, yeah.
7, somewhere in there. And that is the only time. Which, he doesn't plant a lot of dryland corn.
Doesn't plant a lot of irrigated corn most years.
Most years. But this was, since we've planted corn, or since I've been running the planter, this is the second time we've planted dryland corn.
Yeah.
And it's working out about the same way.
I think maybe you're a little better off than the last time.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Over here.
Over there,
because
maybe not.
Because you actually got the fur closed on top of it.
Yes.
And you don't have just whole rows of nothingness.
Yep. Yep. We got it. The planter did a lot better job.
A lot That's better one. Job.
We caught a little bit better rain in August. We had one rain in August.
Oh, I forgot y'all did get mm-hmm. catch rain out
we,
here.
We caught a rain in August. I think I caught a little bit more rain here than we did on Dad's field.
I 100% agree with that because we got like a tenth or 1,500ths yeah. or something
there
like
that. There was just a slice that went through there. And you can see that in our Milo, yeah. too.
No, 100%.
Which our Milo, just go ahead and swap into Milo, is in various stages of burn up. It's not burn up, but there's some that hadn't made a head because it's been too hot. It's got hot spots in it.
You definitely got some hot spots.
Every field is going to be combined.
I don't think you've got a field that is burnt up.
No, we don't. That's why I rolled that back.
Because you've got guys like across the road from you that
is burned up.
I ain't got shit.
I think some of that, a little bit of that is plant date. We got lucky and we were planting corn when they were planting Milo. Like, we were still planting irrigated corn when they planted Milo.
There's probably something to that, if I was...
And some of it is that strip of rain we were talking about with the corn.
Yeah, no, you're probably not wrong on that, or not far from
I think it's both of those.
I think there's just been a lot of things that have worked out in your favor. Cotton's looking okay.
You know, it would look really okay if it was a month earlier than what it was.
Yeah, I had this conversation with a guy today.
I don't know how much... I'm worried about an early freeze.
Royce, at this point, I'm kind of hoping for one.
And if we have an early freeze, I don't know that we're going to strip much of the little bit of cotton that we have.
That's why I'm kind of hoping for an early freeze.
Just go ahead and insurance that crop out.
Might as well.
I mean, that's...
The only thing that sucks is you're not going to get your seed money back.
And that is the pits at this point.
I don't think they're going to let you do a drought claim on that.
But... We've got very little herbicide compared to what we usually do in one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I know guys that tried to treat their cotton good, and they spent a little money because they're like, I mean, look, here's the deal. You know, I've got some products to try to maybe not speed it along, but, you know, let's increase fruiting potential.
Yes.
And I have one customer that said, you know what? Fuck it. You're not talking about that much per acre, and I don't have that much cotton. So... why not? Let's see if we can actually make a crop out of this. And I do think his cotton looks better than a bunch, but I still think it's too far behind.
Yeah. So, do you think this is a year that you want to spray a bowl opener on everything and defoliate it and try and force it to open? And go ahead. I mean, I know if you try to do that, you're going to kill
sitting,
your grade.
I was sitting in a meeting today with a guy that said, does anybody have any cotton? I was like, yeah, 400 acres. And I was a big winner.
You need to cut that down by 80.
I've got other people.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that 80 acres across the highway.
No, I got, sorry, I got Brandon, other people. I looked at that the other day. Brandon, you probably shouldn't count on that, but yeah, it looked okay. Better than I expected it to.
It did.
It was fresh, broke out ground. It got planted, or
it was late.
It was late, and it's still late. And
it looked a lot better last year. I thought it did anyway.
Obviously, it did. It got planted in a timely manner.
That was the big key. But uniformity across the crop last year, I thought, was a lot better, which is surprising as to this year. I thought he would have got a better stand, and it would have looked a lot more uniform across the crop.
When did he strip till it?
It was late, but it was earlier than last year.
No, it wasn't. Last year he did it in like January. Because I was worried about the salt out temp on the fertilizer I sent him. He was like 4 months ahead of when he did it this year.
Maybe for three. Some reason I was thinking.
No. Yeah, no. Fuck no. Because I about told him not to do it.
But it looked better.
I almost told him he would be better off rigging up one of your planters for starter fertilizer or a 2x2 setup than he would have been running the strip till rig. He wouldn't listen to me anyway because people that were a lot smarter than me told him to go ahead and strip till it. I mean, I'm not going to argue with the people that told him to do it, but cutting I still think we could have been okay 2x2. Outside of the fact it was another 12 rows that he had to set up for that, and it wasn't just replacing hoses and like fixing stuff. It was starting from scratch.
If it wasn't just 80 acres and having to redo a 24-row planter.
Not redo. Do.
Do. Yeah. Sorry. Do. Yeah.
He almost should have hired that out to your cousin because he was already set up.
Now that.
That would have been probably more worthwhile.
That might not have been a bad idea.
But.
Might not have been
here a bad we are. Idea. Neither here nor
there. But anyway.
So the cotton is not looking great. But anyway, back to my story about I was sitting in that meeting and I raised my hand. It's like, I got 400 acres. And everybody's like, oh, he's got me beat by like 400. and so the guy said, all right, so if you got questions about defoliation, I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to have to do any of that.
Just let nature take its course. It's fine.
And so we got into that section of his PowerPoint. He's like, got questions, call me. X. Moving on.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to be worried about that.
I mean, I would still prep it if it's looking for a freeze. Like, if we're looking at a cold snap or a frost event into September, early October, I would still spray it.
I didn't know if you'd want to at this point because, I mean, you're still spending money on it. Do you just insurance that it out?
Much.
Or my question is it going to pay for the stripping? Is the cotton going to pay for the stripping?
If you think that you're going to insurance it out, then you should not spray it.
Yeah.
If you think that you're going to insurance it out, we shouldn't be having this conversation now. Because you should know what you're going to insurance out at this point. Because we are 7 days away.
That's what I was going to say.
From knowing how many bowls you're going to set.
Yeah, because I think it's the 15th is when they can do the bowl count.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I mean, if it doesn't have a bowl by the 15th of September here, you're not getting it.
Because I'm thinking on the years that we've had a questionable stand count, the adjuster said, well, we'll wait till the 15th.
Well, and they wait September. Till the 15th because if you have a bowl by the 15th, it will make cotton.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 years. If it's not a bowl by then it's just top growth bullshit that's going to hurt your grade. It's going to be a low grade year.
Oh, it's not going to be a good grade year. No.
It's not going to be a good yield year, but it's also going to be a shit. So that's where you were talking about, you know, defoliating it and hurting your grade. I don't think you're going to hurt that much. I would actually come closer to hitting it harder within a cost prohibitive manner.
Yeah.
To try to make it shuck some of those immature bowls.
Because the
which you can do, but.
Yeah. So, I mean. And here's the other side of that question. And I'm not trying to sound like an insurance farmer here. But to keep your APH up, could you do that in such a way that you would not care about your quality at all? I mean, strip below below loan cotton. Because, I mean, your loan doesn't go into your insurance value at all. And just all you're trying to do is maximize poundage at this point. Because that's all that counts towards your insurance.
No, I understand the question, and I know what you're trying to say. And I can't think of an agronomic way that you can do that. You're not going to do it.
Okay.
Because here's the deal. The bowls that are hurting your grades don't add that much to your lint.
Yeah.
It's just that they hurt your grade so bad that it affects all your good cotton. So yeah. Where I'm saying hit it really hard and try to either fuck up those bowls to the point that the stripper's still not going to take them.
Yeah.
Or
that the bear eater just spits them out.
Yeah. That's where I think the play is this year. If you have, you know, a few good money bowls on the plant, which you do. I mean, in most places that I've looked at, I haven't spent a lot of time looking at cotton. I miss looking at cotton because I love it. But yeah. Also, like, it's just depressing. I can check it from the road. It's fine. Like, what are we going to like? You think we got boll worms? No. There's not enough cotton between here and South Texas to float them north. They all starve to death.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
No, I think you probably are.
I have not scouted one field for boll worms.
Which we don't
have a problem with it.
That's what I was going to say. We don't have
last year I found a couple, but
yeah.
There was more cotton.
But no, that was my big question. Was is there any way to increase lint to a
if there is, I would be happy to know about it, but I don't know of it.
And that was just for a pure...
From an academic standpoint, as Professor Slughorn would say.
Yeah. Nothing. Okay. Well, that answers that question.
If you've got something, let me know, because I'd be happy to hear about it.
I would, too. But like we were talking, I think our quality's already going to be in the tank.
Oh, it is. 100%. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it doesn't freeze till Thanksgiving.
I think we're going to pay. I would be surprised if we don't pay for stripping this year.
Yeah, there's pretty good odds. I know some guys that'll probably strip some cotton. Y'all probably aren't one of them from the four fields you got.
Three fields we got. I know one of them won't strip. The other two, part of one is questionable. Dad had some contamination issues.
Okay.
On one field. And I don't know if he didn't get his moons flush good or what, but
I think it's what he sprayed it with.
Or maybe that.
Because me and him already had this conversation. And I know what he sprayed it with, if we're talking about the same field, which about have to be if it's his field.
Yeah.
He was in a kill the weeds or plow it situation.
Well, there is a...
Yeah. And the cotton looks a lot better than had he plowed it. Barely. I mean, we're really cutting hairs here, but it does look better than if he had plowed it.
It's a live plant.
I mean, I love looking in a plowed field. Nothing better in my book, but I mean, son of a bitch.
But yeah.
Because Brandon told me what he sprayed on it. He was rattling off all this shit. I was like, because he asked me if I'd gone and looked at it. I was like, no. I drove by, but he said, oh, you need to go look at it. And then he rattled off, and I was like, is it still alive?
Vaguely.
She's hanging on, but it's living on the edge.
That's only half of that field.
Is it half?
Yeah.
I thought it was only half. Like a third of it.
Third to half. I mean, it's...
Okay.
It's going to be pretty close there. And then, I mean, the big field that we only planted half of.
I don't know if that's going to strip. Because I have done a few bowl counts on that. You better hope it puts on some bowls. real heavy.
See, it did grow a nice plant.
Because I stopped and looked at that. I was right after I got back from Florida, so that was 2 weeks ago.
Is that right? 3 weeks.
No. It's 2 weeks ago.
Was it? It was 3 weeks when you went.
Yeah, 3 weeks whenever I left. No, I looked at it right after I got back because it was cool that morning. I thought, man, fuck it. I'm going to stop and look at it. Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was afraid of.
Old boy's not going to do it.
I didn't figure.
Unless the other side looks better.
Boy, we got a buddy that is having a rough year.
I feel bad for him.
I do too.
I like to think a lot of his problems is that he doesn't buy a lot from Tyler Martin.
Just dig that knife around in there.
It's not going to change anything, but that's what I tell myself whenever I drive by. Should have listened to me.
There you go.
So how'd your silage chopping go? Y'all had some corn that was supposed to be dry land, ended up getting irrigated pretty well. Looking okay there for a long time in July. It's pretty shiny.
You know what? It held on the last 2 weeks really well. Like when they opened that field up, and there were some big ears on that, which it was a dryland rate, planted under a circle.
In a dryland variety.
And it was, we got to irrigate another circle. It's a circle we split.
Right.
One well with. And we know we don't have the corn to do, or the water to do that with corn and seed Milo.
Yeah.
But.
You don't have the water to do that in cotton.
No.
You've got the water to water one circle.
Yes.
And not effectively.
But.
Somewhat effectively.
Mediocre.
Almost effectively.
But the the lake behind the house filled up. We were able to irrigate out of that. The plan always was to take at least half of it to silage because our silage pile was getting a little low. And then almost 3 weeks ago, the lake went dry. Which was a little sooner than what we were expecting.
Go dry, it just got low enough, couldn't pump out of it.
Well, I mean, dry enough that we couldn't pump anymore.
It's still wet enough to fuck up our cow's leg.
I think the cow's leg was already...
We're not getting into that. Move on.
Anyway, she's getting better, but...
We're not getting into it. Move on.
The lake went dry. We had to concentrate the water on the seed Milo so it didn't fall down because... All those rains that we got after we planted it made that shit grow taller by about a foot, maybe two, than what it was supposed to. Got a good head on it, which is a strike against
love
it.
Love good
right
head.
Now. Yeah. So didn't want
just
it to fall
hope it's got
over.
A thick stalk.
So we had to cut the water on the corn, so all the corn got chopped. It made, according to the chopper's monitor... And they did say it's not that accurate. Hadn't seen scale tickets yet from the few trucks we did weigh 11 to 13 ton.
That's good. That's better than I thought it was going to do.
So, I mean, it's a big pit or a big pile now that we've got.
Yeah.
Like we're going to be feeding for a while.
It's a mediocre pile. It's big for y'all.
For what we use it for, yes. It is a...
I just don't want... I want to give the people at home... An accurate representation.
Fair enough.
It's not a big pile. It is bigger than what you expected it to be.
Yes.
And it will feed your cows for the next 4 to 6 years.
Yes. No, that is accurate because we're only feeding 250 to 300 head out of that
until
pile.
I win the lottery in 8 minutes.
Hey, you know what? You do that.
We're going to have a lot of cows to feed.
We make a deal.
Because we ain't got no grass. We're going to have a feedlot full of purebred cows.
You know what? We've got 6-8 pens. We'll make
fine.
A deal.
Be fine.
Be all right. I know a person just a little ways south of here. He can help us out.
It's like, hey, I know you got that grower yard. Can I put some cows in it? Like, we don't really want to grow them so much.
No, we don't have to take them to him. He'll sell us a ration.
Okay.
Or help us get to a ration.
Why not just fill up his lot?
Because I've got a lot. And I've got a truck.
Not if I win $60 million, you don't.
I've got part of a lot. It's part of them will go to him. Part of them will feed ourselves.
You just keep running half this son of a bitch. Well, keep running a third of this son of a bitch like you wanted to, like God intended. We're just going to pay cash for these pens.
I'll help you out. I'm going to fill up your lot for a while.
Saying, hey, we got some silage.
If you need it, you come down here, you fill up over here. I've got all the ingredients. We'll mix it.
So, no, that's pretty good because I talked to a guy. What'd you say it made? 12? 11?
The South African woman running the chopper thought it was making 11 to 13.
Okay, so let's call it 12 ton. I talked to a guy the other day who had talked to another guy who was expecting about 28 and got 15.
Now that hurts.
Because he was selling his silage.
That hurts a lot.
That hurts, especially whenever he treated it like 28 to 30 ton silage. And
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which, I mean, let's be honest, that circle that he planted, I mean, it was, he decided to do it late because I was looking for a forage sorghum whenever he called me and he said, all right, what do you got you can put on corn? And I thought, well, fuck, you're not going to water it. So we got to go dry land corn. And here's the deal. We don't have a lot of silage dry land corn data in this part of the world. So I went slightly north of us where they actually grow a little bit of dry land corn.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, this one will hang on. It'll do all right. I mean, we were figuring 120 to 150 bushel.
Yeah.
If we irrigated it. So, I'm really, really pleased.
Yeah. No, and I mean, the corn looked good all the way through. Even, I said, when they opened it up, the spots that were dry, I was surprised because I would have thought that the slopes would have been the drier spots.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the greener spots. Which the bottom, because you know that place is kind of out on.
It's on a hill, yes.
Almost, it's the start of a creek bed.
Right.
And so the slopes look good. The tops looked a little tough like you would expect.
Well, that's also on the south side.
Yeah.
So you catch that wind.
But the flat on the part that's almost flat that you would think would hold water better was almost the worst looking spot of the place.
I'm almost not surprised by that.
But overall, I mean, when they
opened... You want me to tell you why I'm not surprised by that?
Why is that?
For the exact same reason that I'm telling you that your place over here looks bad. Because it held water for so long.
Okay. We're back to the compaction.
You've got compaction.
Yep.
I think that we can take all of y'all's cornfields, the late corn, and we can almost, if we had taken a picture... An aerial picture.
Yeah.
The places that held water are your bad spots in your corn right now.
No, and I wouldn't be surprised if you were
I know we didn't do that whenever we flew over that day, but I would bet money.
Yeah.
Which that place down there, it was already compacted as hell because you grazed it so hard.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it was fine, but...
Didn't intend to grow corn there. And by the time I did, it was too late to strip till it.
Well, it wasn't too late. It just seemed too late.
Yeah.
It was too late in your mind for what you felt was right.
I don't know that we'd have had any better results
if we get into corn country. I see people strip till 3 days before they plant. Well, and I'm not talking like Midwest. I'm talking like we go an hour north of here. There's lots of guys that will do that.
With as low water as that place is, I don't know that I had the water to fill back up that slice.
Well, we're not going to go that deep though. We're just going to kind of break through it a little bit. We're going to go 3-4 inches. You'd have been fine. 100%.
We'd have had done a lot of work to our strip till rig.
to just run it across it?
To do it that shallow? Yes. Because we tried it for Brandon's dry land.
Yeah, he strip-tilled it.
But you can't go that shallow with our rig, especially if you're doing liquid.
Because no, I'm not talking about putting out any fertilizer. I'm talking about we just need to run the strip till just to break through that hard.
You're talking about just basically
just dry running it.
Ripping it with the strip till rig.
Well, not ripping it, but we're just,
I mean,
we're dry running
shallow, shallow yeah. ripping it. Yeah, yeah, I mean.
No, you could have done that real easy.
On that one, I'd see, but do you get any benefit out of running it that shallow?
On that compaction level, yes, I think you would have.
Okay. Okay. Because I would have figured your compaction issues are in the bottom, or the 3 to 6 to 9 inches.
Well,
that the water would soften up that first 3.
It gets more complicated if you really get down to it. But I don't think you have compaction issues in that field. Like historical compaction issues?
I've got drainage issues.
You've got a couple of those, which would probably be a bit of a compaction deal. But for the most part, you're talking about recent compaction, which is not going to be from 6 to 12 inches. It's going to be in that top portion. And I think that's where you struggled, is getting that corn to break through that top few inches. Let's say 5 inches.
Yeah.
And so if you strip till the 4 inches, you plant it at 1.5, 2 inches. And then, you know, whenever that corn is still working off of the energy from the seed, you know, up to V4, it could put out a lot more root there because it had an inch or two or three or whatever to go off of. And then it could start fighting as opposed to where it is. You put it 1.5 inches, and then it started its life fighting. And it burned a lot of that, you know, planting to V4 energy, just trying to put out some kind of root.
Okay.
Not that it was struggling for water, just that it was had that little bit of struggle to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that actually makes sense.
Ordinarily, I would not recommend you strip till that, then plant it the next day. This year probably been okay.
What was that look?
Oh, I'm talking to my cousin.
Oh, which one?
The one that donated the Coors Banquet sign over there.
That was nice of him.
Let her buck. That's a bull. Never mind. He's got a long tail.
Hey, still, let her buck. Let him buck.
Let him buck.
Let him buck.
Speaking of letter buck, do you know where that phrase originated?
I do not.
Got a guess?
The rodeo?
It was in Wyoming.
Okay.
Okay.
Not surprising.
And everybody thought that it was the cowboys up there that were talking about, you know, letter buck.
Mm-hmm.
Where it actually came into prominence, like to where the world knew about it, was in World War II. There was a group of soldiers that every time they would come over the hill, is it World War II, World War I? They'd come over the hill, they'd say, "Let her buck, Powder River." Then they'd go kick the shit out of some Germans. I mean,
either
different
way.
Wars, yeah. But
same people.
Yeah. I learned that this week.
Ha. Huh.
Because, you know, that's the motto or whatever of Wyoming.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Letterbuck.
The Letterbuck Cowboy. You like the shield on the Pendleton bottles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's like their official state motto, but it has something to do
with
Wyoming.
But isn't Pendleton from like
Oregon?
Oregon?
Yeah. Correct.
I mean, the states are close, but
we're fairly close.
Especially you get to the part of Oregon that rodeos.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh. All right, Tyler. So you went on a voyage here lately.
I did.
You went down to Florida.
I sure did. And I regret it every day. But my wife seems to be doing good,
which is what's important.
I guess it was thus far a worthwhile voyage.
She does look like she's doing good. Or last time I saw her, she does.
She's still moving slow, but I mean, she's doing okay.
Which, I mean, after that much time laid up, you got a little bit of atrophy or something.
Well, she's still laid up.
Oh, really?
Like, she still can't, like, exercise for, like, another 3-4 weeks.
Okay. So, I mean, that's part of the problem, why she's moving slow. Because their muscles, you hadn't moved. It's just like after you've been sick.
It's not so much that. It's that she can't bend or twist.
Oh, okay.
Because she's got to keep her spinal column pretty...
pretty straight. Pretty rigid.
Pretty straight. And so, like, she can bend over and pull her boots on, but she can't, like, bend over and pick something up.
Okay.
So she's just moving a little hobbled.
Okay. But she's doing good.
Your granddad might could beat her in a foot race. Probably not, because she's got a lot longer legs than him, but maybe.
You know, that would be interesting.
We catch him in the morning.
Be a fair fight.
We know he's not too proud to take that cane and whack her across the knees.
I think he's enough of a gentleman. He's not going to whack. Depends on the morning. Depends on the morning.
It's feeling a little sprightly. I can see him doing it.
But anyway, what did you notice on your travels? I feel like you've got a complaint about...
Well, I do. And I guess we're going to have a new segment here called Tyler's Crotchety Old Man. Because that seems to be the last 3-4 episodes. I've had a lot of complaints. And I've got another one.
It's either that or this grinds my gears.
I'm not quite Peter Griffin. I need to gain a few pounds before we get to that one. So what I noticed, I immediately noticed it in Dallas Love Field.
Yes.
Sitting there hanging out, you know, in the Cold River. Cool River.
Yeah. The Cool River.
The center restaurant, bar, all
the
that.
The main one.
So I'm sitting there hanging out. And so, you know, at first I didn't pick up on this, but my wife was sitting next to me. And so we're sitting there and I'm having a few drinks. She's getting something to eat. And then she leaves because she wanted to go lay down, because that's part of her whole reason we're going to Florida. She needed to lay down and equalize the pressure and feel better, get her headache away. So I'm sitting at the bar. And I immediately realized that bars are not what they used to be in terms of who sits at the bar. Which, that's an airport bar, so I'll let that go.
Yeah.
But, you know, used to, you go to the bar, like, if you were going to sit at the bar, either you were with somebody and you wanted to hang out with other people, like we used to do whenever we were in college, we'd go to happy hour, we'd sit at the bar, but, you know, we'd talk to people left or right, you know, it kind of turned into a group deal. So there's people that sit at the bar that are couples, and they don't want to talk to anybody, but they're other people, which...
Well, they're just there for the quick seat.
That's an airport bar. I'll let that go.
Yeah.
But, like, a loner comes in, a single, and they sit at the bar, and they immediately put their AirPods in.
Maybe open up their laptop.
Zero communication with the outside world, except for electronically.
Yep.
Again, it's an airport bar. No big deal. Well, then we get to Florida, and I'm sitting at a regular bar, and I walk in. I was by myself. Haley was taking a nap, walking on the beach. I don't know. She's doing something. This is before her procedure got done, but I went by myself. I was going to go grab lunch, have a couple beers, enjoy myself. So I sit at the bar because that's what you do whenever you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You sit at the bar.
That's what bars are for.
If somebody comes and sits in the chair next to you, looks like me and you's gonna have a conversation.
You and the bartender.
Like, we're gonna feel each other out. Like, you know, there's always been those times you sit next to somebody, it's like, this guy's kind of weird. Someone's gonna talk to him for a minute. And we're gonna mosey on. And that's fine. Perfectly fine. There was so many people that sat at that bar in like a group. Like 4 or 5 people. There's empty tables everywhere. But they chose to sit at the bar. They didn't even want to talk to the bartender. Like, they were just shouting out orders at her and then turning back to their group. there were single people. I don't know that they were single, but there were loners, singles, yeah, that came in, and they would put their AirPods in. And so I got to talking to the bartender about it, because, you know, she's still an old school bartender, and, you know, I'm visiting with her, having fun, getting beer suggestions, this and that. And I asked her, I was like, is it common for people to just, like, come in, sit at the bar by themselves, put their AirPods in, and just cancel out the rest of the world? She said, in the last 3 years, it has become more prominent.
And I'm not surprised, because the world has become more isolated. But at the same time, I mean, if you're with a group of five people, why would you sit at the bar?
The people on the ends are going to have a neck ache.
Yeah. No, I mean, the only times that, like, we've been out that we've sat at a bar with a group.
It's because there was not a table.
Exactly.
And we're generally just trying to expedite. We are just sitting at the bar to get a drink, and then we're going to go back and wait for our table.
Or we've got something else going on in the night.
Maybe we're a little early. Yeah.
Like we're going to a play.
That's fair.
We're going to a concert or something. We're just trying to get our food so that we can eat and then go on. But, I mean, when you're with a group of four or five.
Look, asshole.
Hi.
Yeah, you. Continue.
When you're sitting at a bar with a group of four or five, I mean, any more than three,
that's even problematic.
Even with three, it's a pain. Three's
not that bad.
Three is about the limit. Even with three, I would rather sit at a table. Because then you're not talking across somebody.
100%. But also with three people, it's generally one conversation. If you break three, there's good odds that there's a couple of conversations going on within your group.
Yeah.
And then you end up talking over people, across people. That's problematic.
Oh, yeah.
But my main deal is, like, when did we all get so goddamn scared to talk to some stranger?
COVID.
Maybe that's it.
No, that broke everybody. That changed everything. Like you're saying,
I know you're real proud of your toy, asshole.
Which he took the squeaker out of that clown, yeah, didn't he?
I know he did.
He's so happy because nobody's taking it away from him.
God. He can squeak it. It's fine. Move on.
But anyway, AirPods haven't helped anything.
No, I think they're worse.
I think they have.
They are worse. You want to know why? I hate AirPods. I hate AirPods with a passion.
I love them. Well, I love using them.
Maybe I hate you.
Like at an airport bar, I'm going to wear one.
In a public situation, I hate AirPods.
Okay.
If we get more than three people, and you have your AirPods in, you're a douchebag. I don't care if you have one, you have two. If they're not in your pocket, you're a douchebag.
Unless you're expecting an important call. I will give that caveat out. But usually, if I'm traveling with one or two
people.
I
gave you a caveat of that time that we were sitting at the bar at 575, and you had your AirPods in talking to the guy that whenever you were selling your calves. That is acceptable.
Yes.
Also, you were talking loudly to yourself because you had your AirPods in.
But that's
what makes
I'm
you a douchebag, but you were not talking any more loudly than you would have been had you been talking to me, so you get a caveat.
Okay.
If you walk up to me and I'm clearly sitting by myself, having a drink, waiting on a flight, and you choose the chair next to me, empty chairs fucking everywhere, but you choose to sit next to me, and then you put your AirPods in, and you start calling people and having conversations, you're a douchebag.
That I will confer with.
I might have given him a pass if it had been a clear work call.
Yes.
But it's like he was bored and lonely, and he chose to call somebody as opposed to reach out to the guy next to you, see what's up.
He sat down
next
to
you. He might have met somebody new, might have got some cool stories, because let's face it, I got some fucking stories.
Hide.
This motherfucker.
He needs to go out. Give me a second.